Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Emrin's Podcast, episode 140. Today is Wednesday, January 28th, 2009. I actually had an episode all recorded yesterday. I was just putting the finishing touches on it, and then GarageBand crashed and took the episode with it. So I had to start over again. But unfortunately, this week I only have a narrow window of opportunity each day, and I'd already used up yesterday's by the time I realized that the episode was gone. So I'm starting again today. The main thing I wanted to tell you about was to sort of tidy up the last little bits about the Civil Union. Then I have some comments, a couple other bits and pieces. But first about the Civil Union Day. If it's possible to have a perfect day, that was it. The weather was perfect. It was bright and sunny. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, I don't think. Bright blue sky. Unfortunately, however, it was also really hot. It could have been a bit cooler. But other than that, it was perfect. And of course, we taken care to set up some shade around the yard so that people had some shelter. And it seemed to go really well. The day started very early that day. I think it was actually before 6. We had some relatives staying with us, and they were all up early. And Nigel got up not long after, and then I got up a little bit later, probably about 6:30. I was trying to get some more rest because I knew it would be a long day, although that didn't work. So started the day early, and then maybe about 8 or so, certainly before 8:30, Nigel's sisters took off to help another sister make the canapes for after the Civil Union. And then Nigel and his brother went out to do some errands. And then Nigel's mom and I were here at the house, and we just finished up some last-minute things like vacuuming, whatever, the sorts of things you do just before a party. And then they started coming back, and then Nigel and I started getting ready around 1-ish thereabouts. And so we were ready as the guests were arriving. We only started about 15 minutes late, which I think is really good. But I was really anxious by that point, not because of stage fright or anything. I wasn't nervous in that sense. But I don't think Nigel was too bad. But for me, it was just that we were ready to go. I in my mind set on this, and then we had to wait. And it's that kind of anxiousness. So I was glad to get started when the time came. Although it was over much faster than I expected somehow. Maybe my sense of time was shifted or something. I don't know. Both of us got a bit choked up during our vows. Apparently, Nigel's sisters and mum and some others were a bit teary during parts of the ceremony, but I was oblivious to all that because, all I was aware of really was the celebrant and Nigel, which I suppose is as it should be. But that all went well. There were no mistakes during the ceremony. The actual ceremony had been given to us by the celebrant as a suggestion, saying we were free to add or delete. Well, it was pretty much perfect as it was. It encapsulated all the things that we wanted, which was the sense of moment, that it was a big deal for us. Even though we'd been together for 13 years, we were taking this special step together, that it was a relatively new right for gay men, a new legal right that we were exercising. All of those kinds of things. It was a totally secular service. It ticked all the boxes, I suppose you'd say. The only thing we did do was we added a couple of things. One thing is that Nigel wanted us to light candles for all the people who couldn't be there for whatever reason. And he hadn't mentioned that to me before. When we met with the celebrant, he mentioned it then. I'm like, oh. And I said later, he said, after 13 years, you can still surprise me. Which, actually, I suppose is a pretty good thing, really. So we decided on 5 candles, and we inserted a little thing into the ceremony, which the celebrant read, and it went like this. The candles that Nigel and Arthur lit are to acknowledge those who could not be with us today. Arthur lit one each for his mother and his father, and Nigel lit one each for his father and his brother, Trevor, all of whom have passed away. The 5th candle is for all the other friends and family who could not be with us today for whatever reason. We just wanted something to acknowledge the people who couldn't be there but would be if they could, no matter why they weren't there, distance or whatever. So that was really the only thing we added, and apart from that, it was pretty much as he gave it to us originally. And Nigel's brother Terry, who was his witness, gave the toast, and then after that, just sort of devolved into a party. There's a photo on my blog, amrins.blogspot.com, of Nigel and me right after the toast. And that's probably the only photo you're going to see of the whole day for us. But after that was all over, you know, the sisters went around and served the canapes, and there was champagne and other drinks, and Nigel's sister, Pam, her daughter, Stacy, who went to Camp America, sang a song for some karaoke years from now by, what are they called, Dr. Hook. Before Stacy went to Camp America, she did a little fundraiser thingy, and she was singing some songs, and one of them was that song. And I said to her, I said, you know, you should sing that at our Civil Union, thinking, God only knows when we're going to have that. Well, she remembered it, and then when she had the opportunity, she did take it upon herself to sing it, which was really nice. After the ceremony was all over, you know, all the families coming up to give us a hug and a kiss. And there's certain nieces in particular that we haven't had a whole lot to do with, just because they're older or because we were further away from them primarily. And every single one of them said to me, hello, uncle, and you've always been part of the family as far as we're concerned, which I thought was really touching because we certainly haven't talked like that. But they were acknowledging the reality of what Nigel and I had done and the fact that we were family and all those kinds of things. And I just thought that was really nice. After all that part, the canapes and the drinks and so on, we relaxed for a little while. And then I went in to get changed. Actually, I should say I was banished. Because what they did essentially was kind of redecorate. They moved things around. They put out the tablecloths and 50th birthday party decorations and another cake. I forgot to mention we had a cake that was given to us by my friend Pauline that we cut. But then there was another cake that she also provided for my birthday, and that was equally as fabulous. And there's photos of both cakes on my blog as well. And so I blew out the candles, and we just went into birthday party mode. It was just a fairly ordinary family party from that point on. But it was really nice, and it went on into the evening, and it was a nice evening. It wasn't too cold or cool. It was just pleasant. And we were able to stay outside after a while. It wasn't so hot anymore. And people did karaoke, and it was really nice. By about midnight, it was all over. However, it had been a very long day. I hadn't gotten much sleep on Friday night. And so on Sunday, I was really tired. Now, the relatives who were staying with us all cleared out fairly early. I think it was maybe even before midday. So we had the house to ourselves by around lunchtime. And we just sort of pottered around and kind of tidied up as we went. And that was really about it for Sunday. Slept well Sunday night, I can tell you. And then Monday was a public holiday here in Auckland, Auckland Anniversary Day. And we spent the day doing a little bit more tidying up. Now, Nigel had to go to work on Tuesday, and go back to work on Tuesday, I should say. And that same day, our two young nieces, Terry's daughters, were coming to stay with us for the week, because it's the last week of school holidays, and school resumes for the year on Monday. So they were staying with us, which is why I've been too busy to take time to podcast even. And about 2 hours a day, Stacy comes and takes them for a swim or something, and then brings them back 2 or 3 hours later. But yesterday I had to do shopping as well. So anyway, that was pretty much the whole thing. And I'm still putting things away, still tidying up, and I probably will be for the rest of the week. But, oh well, I don't mind at all, really. I'm actually almost done with the washing for the bedding and the towels and everything. So it's actually been really, really good. And that's actually both parties. I had a fabulous time. Nigel did. Our guests did. It was really good. And that's the story of the Civil Union and the birthday. So now we are just waiting for our official certificate to arrive. But essentially, the minute we were pronounced partners in Civil Union, it was all done and dusted. And getting the certificate just means it's been registered with the New Zealand government, which then gives us all the rights and privileges of any other couple in Civil Union. Now, one thing I want to talk about before I go on to comments is just to go back to this thing. I said I was going to talk about it later, about that one-star review. Now, I'm not going to go into any great detail because, quite frankly, I'm over it. There was a really good discussion at my site, aaronspodcast.com, and by all means, go read the comments, add your own if you want. A lot of good points were made by pretty much everybody, and a lot of the people who commented were themselves victims of one person or another. And I think one of the best points was actually made by Lauren, La 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 Lauren, who was saying that the people who do this sort of thing like to see happy people become unhappy, and that they thrive on reaction. And I think there's a strong element of truth to that. In that, I posted a rant on my site, which is actually what I'm referring to. And in that rant, I said that the person who posted the bad review of me was stupid as well, because they posted it to the wrong feed. Well, whoever that is must have gone to my site looking for a reaction, because they went and posted another review to the correct feed. Now, the thing is that the first review, if you can call it that, gave me 1 star, of course, and said, "Good audio, but this show is way too political. This moonbat of a host is just plain crazy." Now, I took offense to that because of the just plain crazy part. Saying that somebody doesn't agree with me or whatever is fair enough, but calling me crazy because you don't agree with it is not. Now, the ironic thing about that is, if it had said, "Good audio, but this show is way too political," and stopped there, I wouldn't have been happy about a 1 star, but I would have thought, okay, well, that's a legitimate criticism, fair enough, even though I think you're crazy for saying that yourself. But it was that second part. The moonbat host is just plain crazy. Went too far. And it was essentially defamatory, or at least certainly borderline defamatory. Well, the new review over on my correct feed gave me 2 stars. So I'm guessing that this person likes people who fight back. And changes somewhat. It says, "Good audio, but this podcast is all political. This host has some crazy liberal ideas." No, okay, putting bad grammar aside. Here's the thing. It's saying that I've got some crazy liberal ideas. I would like to know what even one of those is, because I can't think of anything that I've said in all the nearly 2 years of doing the podcast that anybody except the furthest right lunatic person would consider crazy liberal. I have some stock standard liberal ideas, but there's certainly nothing crazy about them. I've defended the National Health Scheme of New Zealand and said that it works. And that's really about the only thing I can think of that would drive the far right crazy. If somebody else can think of anything, I would like to know what it is that somebody on the far right would think was crazy, because I can't think of anything. But what intrigued me about both of them was this idea that my podcast is too political. And the second review said, "This podcast is all political." And so, you know, I was wondering about that too. And I did a little content analysis of my own. I looked at all 138 episodes up until that point, and figured out how many of them were political. And I used the word political very loosely to mean anything where a more or less political topic was the central theme or central topic of that episode. Now, I didn't count if I made a brief passing insult to George Bush or something like that, or Republicans or whatever. It was if I was talking about something in some depth. Now, I didn't count necessarily anything where I was doing a compare and contrast between the U.S. and New Zealand, because you have to be able to draw distinctions between the two. It's not necessarily taking sides, and I didn't think that was necessarily political. Okay, I just want to explain my methodology. So doing that, looking at the episodes that were overtly political, out of 138 episodes, 26% dealt with politics. 26%. So clearly the podcast isn't all political, as this person claimed. But just out of interest, 20 of those episodes were dealing with U.S. politics, and most of those, of course, were the Politicasts with Jason. One of them was dealing specifically with Australian politics, 3 with Canadian politics, 5 with gay politics, gay rights, those sorts of things, and 7 with New Zealand politics. And again, I took things very loosely in my definition of politics. It wasn't necessarily partisan politics, but it was about political issues or campaigns or parties, whatever. So I just thought that was kind of interesting, and I thought that I would share that with you, that the reality that some people claim, that some people may claim, can be very different from the reality that exists. But I'm not paying any more attention to that person or any other reviewer on iTunes. As a matter of fact, as it stands right now, I don't expect you'll ever hear the phrase iTunes review coming out of my mouth again, because I frankly couldn't care less. The whole system of iTunes reviews is screwed up. It's mostly in the U.S., you may be interested to know. I've looked at other countries, and granted, I haven't looked at every single thing that has a review, but I just haven't found the depth of snarkiness, or no, it's not even that, it's bitchiness, mean bitchiness, that I find in reviews in iTunes USA. It's sort of an extension of what you see on blogs and the comment sections for mainstream media, where they just go on and on and on about tearing somebody down. You don't see that quite as much in other countries. But be that as it may, iTunes, I feel, has a responsibility to police its own reviews, to weed out the things that are clearly defamatory or racist or sexist without waiting for somebody to report a concern. And iTunes doesn't seem to want to do that, so as far as I'm concerned, they can go shove it. I have no intention of mentioning their reviews again or acknowledging them either. Those of you who have given me 5-star reviews on either feed, thank you very much. I do sincerely appreciate it, and I will continue to appreciate any 5-star review or favorable review that's given to me, but I'm not going to be acknowledging it again. It's gone too far. It's out of control. There's too many people who have schadenfreude and who are enjoying seeing good people feel bad, and I'm not going to give them the dignity of... I'm not going to dignify their... disgusting actions by talking about them anymore. And now it's time for comments. But starting out, I have a phone comment from Tom the Ramble Redhead.
Hey, Arthur, this is Ramble. Just wanted to leave you a quick message to two things. Number one is to wish you a very, very happy birthday. And I hope it goes really, really well. And I know you're all happy about the Obama inauguration, so yay for that. And also, I just wanted to say that I wish you and your lovely, lovely man, Mr. Nigel, all the best. And I know that you're having a big, big event coming up soon, and I just wish I could be there and wish Joe and I could be there to wish you all the best and have some alcoholic beverages. But you have to do it via the phone line and the internet. But anyway, I just want to say you've been such a great friend to me and to the show, and I love your program, and I just wanted to say I wish you all the very best. So here's to you and your man. So bye-bye for now. Bye-bye.
Thanks for that, Tom. Tom has been a very good friend and supporter and all those sorts of things over the years. He still is the only podcaster I've ever met in real life. I keep mentioning that in hopes that one day someone or all will come and visit me here, because I think it's going to be a while before I make it to the U.S. again. But, Tom is a great person. He does a great job with his podcast, Ramble Redhead, and do check it out if you haven't already. It is listed in the parade of podcasts on both my blog and on my podcast site. So by all means, check it out. And there is actually a 2-part episode that I did with Tom where I talked about my whole story leading up to New Zealand. It was just when I was starting my podcast. And if I think about it, one day I should put a link to them somewhere. But anyway, thank you very much for that, Tom. And my next phone message is from DQ Rick.
Hey, Arthur, this is DQ Rick, the Dairy Fairy, a longtime listener, first-time caller. Been meaning to call for a while now and really haven't gotten the chance, but I would be terribly remiss if I didn't call you. And actually on the eve of the first milestone event, and wish you a very happy 50th birthday. And also, too, if I didn't call you up and say congratulations to you and Nigel. I hope the two special days are wonderful, and I wish you luck as you enter into this new phase of your lives together. Enjoy the show. Love it. Keep up the good work. Ciao.
Thank you very much, Rick. And actually, Rick and Tom and I have one thing in common. Yes, we've all three been victims of the thing I'm not going to discuss anymore. But thank you again, Rick, and thanks, Tom, for calling. And now I'm going on to the written comments. And this is, of course, for episode 139, Big Week, and it's over at amarinspodcast.com. And the first comment was from Ramble Redhead, who said, "Here's to you and your birthday. Here's to Obama and wish him all the best. Here's to both you and Nigel on your upcoming civil union. It is amazing how you two met, and it is so wonderful you have such a wonderful partnership filled with love. I wish I could be there to help celebrate, and hope you will have video of the wonderful event, or at least 50,000 pictures." Well, I won't be posting any video, although video was taken, and I'm eventually going to edit it together. I was forbidden to do that. And fair enough, because as I said before, that when I first talked about it, this is basically personal for Nigel and me. And I don't think there's going to be any more photos, but we'll see how it goes. At this stage, I feel lucky that I was able to post the one. Next up was Apollonius, who said, and I'm not going to sing this, by the way, Peter, happy weddings to you, happy weddings to you, happy weddings to you, Arthur, happy weddings to you. There's almost singing. I'm looking forward to pictures and celebration, and it couldn't happen to a nicer person. Cheers. Thank you, Peter. And actually, Peter's from They Don't Know podcast, and he and I are going to be trading visits on each other's very soon. I believe that we are recording for mine very shortly, and so it will probably be posted next week if everything is still in order. Actually, I've been a bit too busy to follow up. So Peter may hear this on the podcast before I have a chance to email him. But that's the plan anyway. That will be coming up. And that's one of the things I was mentioning earlier about what I'm going to be doing in the podcast. I'm going to be talking to podcasters. I'm going to be talking to just people here in New Zealand, a whole variety of people in the year ahead. And next up was John Q. Public, who said, your discussion of the meaning of your ceremony, particularly in light of your past work, made me weep a bit. Congrats. You deserve your happiness. Yes, we want pictures. Again with the pictures. thank you, John. It's an interesting thing about that whole discussion, because quite frankly, I almost deleted it before I posted the podcast or re-recorded it or something, and I didn't have time for that, because I was afraid it was going to come across that I was suggesting that I uniquely deserved it, that I was somehow special and more better than others, and that basically, I was afraid it was going to come across that I thought a lot of myself, because that's not at all what I was trying to convey. What I was trying to say in my clumsy way was that I had sacrificed a lot during when I was doing that activism, particularly career. I probably would have been in a very different place if I had devoted more time to a career, more energy to a career. And there were times when I regretted that, because I felt like I missed out on career advancement and maybe even status, all sorts of things that go with that, if I just spent a little more energy on that and a little less energy on activism. And when it became possible for me to actually do the civil union, and more importantly, when we were actually going forward with it, it made me not care about any of that anymore. It made me feel that all of that time wasn't wasted, it wasn't lost, no opportunities lost, none of that. But rather that I still don't know how to put it, not rewarded exactly, but that everything had been worth it. And that's what I was trying to convey. It just had to do with how I was feeling personally, and not that I was trying to suggest that I uniquely deserve, you know, the special reward, because I think everybody does. And I even said something similar to that on my blog when I was talking about the fact that we were going to do it. I just feel that everybody ought to have the right to be able to stand up publicly with the person they love and declare that love, have that relationship recognized by the government of the place where they live, and everybody ought to be able to be equal. And, I mean, that's where I'm fundamentally coming from, and it's one of the driving forces why I was an activist all those years ago. So anyway, I was feeling a bit unsure about that when I posted that in that episode. And next up was Wes from Live It Up podcast. You know, Wes gets a lot of, not exactly a hard time, but he gets a lot of attention because he's cute. But he's also a really nice guy. I've had dealings with him offline, I suppose you'd say, you know, through email and that sort of thing. And he's a really nice guy. He's very genuine. And if you haven't checked out his podcast, by all means, do so. He does some really creative things with him, or has done some really creative things with his podcast, far more creative than I do, by and large. So check him out if you get the chance. Anyway, he said, Arthur, this was a really great episode. I really enjoyed hearing you open up and giving us a more personal look at your life. This is one of my favorite episodes. Congratulations on your nuptials and happy birthday. Thank you, Wes. And in the year ahead, I also plan on doing more personal podcasts from time to time. I don't think it's going to be like every episode, certainly. And I don't think it's going to be even necessarily all that often. I don't know. We'll just take it as it comes. But I am planning on having episodes where I deal specifically with more personal sides of what I'm doing, and as well as episodes that have nothing to do with me in some cases, where I'm just maybe introducing you to someone here in New Zealand, for instance. And but we'll see how it goes. This is a journey, not a destination. But my comment was a general one to everyone. And I just said, thanks, everyone. I put a post in my personal blog, and that has a photo and one of the cakes, too. There's a link in there, but I'll put a link to that blog post in the show notes at aaronspodcast.com. So if you want to check it out, you can. And finally, I have repeatedly talked about the old feed, and I mentioned it in passing. And I've also told you that you can tell if you're on the correct feed, because it will say, in this case, it will say Amarin's 140 perfect day. If you're on the old feed, it will say Amarin's 140P, and P stands for Podomatic, my old host. I will no longer post to that feed after I hit my second anniversary, which is in March, I think. Anyway, soon. I'll keep warning you. And from that point on, the new episodes will only go to aaronspodcast.com. Now, I'm giving you plenty of advance warning in case you are subscribed to the old feed and you just haven't gotten around to switching yet. I'll give you the opportunity. I'm not going to delete the old episodes anytime soon, but I'm certainly not going to be posting anything new to them. So I just wanted to give you a bit of a heads up and a bit of a warning about that. And I, of course, will remind you as that time draws closer. That, though, is it for this episode, and I think it's actually it for this week. I don't think I'm going to get a chance to podcast again this week. You never know. But it probably is it for this week. And as I said, next week I expect I will be doing an episode with Peter, a.k.a. Apollonius. And I will be having other things coming up as well. I don't know what at this stage, but I'm sure I will. But that's it for today, everybody, and possibly it for this week. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amarin's Podcast at aaronspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at aaronspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed on a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.